It's time once again to go into our studies of rightly dividing word of truth. And this time we're looking at the contrast in word of truth and the word of God. And over the last several weeks, we have been really looking at some things and understanding what God is doing today and what He's did yesterday and what He's going to do tomorrow, if you will. This week, we're going to look at the fact that the number, this is lesson 9, and we're looking at the fact that the number 12 is associated with Israel. And a contrast of that, the number 1 in your Bible is the number associated with the body of Christ. So if you want to get something out of this lesson today, this is what we're looking at, okay? Because everybody looks at 12, 12, 12, the nation Israel, but you may not understand about the 1 and God, what He's doing in the dispensation of grace of God. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. So once again, the number 12 is associated with the nation Israel. And if you've been studying along with us and listening to the messages and all, you can see a contrast that's building in God's Word. Okay? Everybody wants to... Here at Canton Grace Fellowship, we don't play Russian roulette with the Bible, if you will. We don't just roll the pages and stop it and put our finger on the whatever verse it is and that we'll apply it to our heart. God has a design in His book that allows us to understand. And there's one verse we always love to think about, and you only find it in your Bible, and it goes along with 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. But we also look at the fact that says, consider this, and the Lord will give thee understanding. Only one time in your whole Bible does that phrase come out. And you find that in Paul, the apostle to the body of Christ. And that's where we find our marching orders. But once again, all the Bible is what? For us, but not all of it's to us. Amen. In Genesis chapter 32, Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day is daybreaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. How many of you would love to wrestle somebody and not let them go until they bless you? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But look, he said, verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more, what? Jacob, but Israel. As a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and has prevailed. Now Jacob, his father is who? Isaac, and Isaac's father is Abraham. God is the father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now his name is changed to Israel. Okay? There's a reason for that. And that's what that is. No longer be called Jacob. Now once again, there's people out there believes that, that God's will did not go down through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Okay, they believe in Father Abraham, but they want to use Ishmael and Esau. But God put His blessings and His authority on this earth through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now Israel. Let's see who Israel is. Go to an angel. Yes, absolutely. And he touched the hollow of his thigh, and they won't eat a certain part of an animal. S-I-N-E-W. But anyway, keep moving. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. The end of verse 22 says, now the sons of Jacob were 12. And what was Jacob's name at this point?
Israel.
Okay. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel is Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, David and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Glad and Asher. And these are the sons of Jacob, which was born to him in Padan-Aram. Okay, you got that? There's 12 of them there. There's 12 sons of who?
Israel.
Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. This may be elementary for some, but it's very, very necessary to understand, you know, the number 12 is associated with Israel. Why 12? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Starting with verse 24. They saw the... If I got this right. Verse 7 through 8. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. 7 through 9. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generation, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. God will rule in the land of Jacob. That's what this is about. Verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of His people according to the numbers of the children of who? Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is His lot of His inheritance. So the Lord, God's got an inheritance, but it's Jacob that He's given it to, and Jacob has what? 12 sons. The boundaries are 12. Okay? That's why they go to get lots given to them. There's portions. Matthew chapter 19. While you turn to Matthew chapter 13, Joshua, there's one of the tribes, Reuben and Gad, okay? They wanted their inheritance before they crossed into the promised land. Okay? When Moses was still alive and all. And they wanted it. And they said, okay, Moses granted it to them and said, but you need to go and fulfill your obligation to the nation Israel when they go into the land to take over into the promised land. They go and cross the River Jordan. Okay, they lay 12 stones there to mark that they're crossing the river. And by the way, they crossed the River Jordan on dry land. Have you heard that before as far as what they crossed? They come out of Egypt in dry land, didn't they? See, here's another miracle that God did. They crossed, and there's 12 stones. And I think about when God comes out of the universe, comes out of the third heaven, and He cleanses the universe as He comes down. He's coming down, and He comes right through that same area where Joshua did into the promised land. And I think of runway lights. You know, that He sees it. There's His marker. He's coming through, and He comes into Jerusalem on the east side of Jerusalem. God's got a pattern as He comes out of the universe. But when Reuben and Gad was on this side, promised land, they went and fought. They went to fault with Israel. Go to Joshua chapter 22. I told you to go to Matthew, but look at Joshua 22 before we go. They went and fought, and after they fought and conquered in the promised land, they went to Joshua and said, hey, we want to go back. We want to go back. Our inheritance is on the other side of the promised land. You think about that. I thought everybody wanted to go to the promised land. But their inheritance is over there. And they built an altar. This is just a little history now. They built an altar. And the other 10 tribes, their brothers said, hey, they're going to go after other gods. They're building an altar. And they went to go warring against their own brothers because they said, hey, well, you don't do that. Verse 34.
Joshua 22, verse 34.
Verse 33 says, and this thing pleased the Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. They explained to them what they was building an altar for. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called their altar Ed. And it shall be a witness unto between us and them that the Lord is God. I'll show that to people today because only in the King James Bible will you find the word Ed. And that's my name. If you know, people smiling at me and all. But anyway, the fact is, they built the altar and they went back across the Promised Land. They're over here on this side of the Jordan. And I got to thinking of strongholds, and there's reasons. Would you not want an ally on the outside of your boundaries if you needed them? Yes. Because if you know the Word of God and you know the strongholds, and we read about the Hittites and the Jebusites and all those ites, that is Satan's strongholds in this world. And they was to go and war against them, but Satan is the god of this world and he's got strongholds in there. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. The number 12 is associated with the nation Israel. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 28. By the way, you know what Matthew chapter 10 says, right?
Yes. No, we don't.
Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 10 then. Starting with verse 5. There you go. Verse 4. We can do verse 4. Matthew 10, 4. Matthew 10, 2 says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. And he names them. Got that? They went from 12 tribes to 12 apostles. And he gives them great power and authority over the land, if you will. Go to Matthew 19. I wanted to show you that right there. We didn't break it down in the names, but you know who the 12 apostles are.
Was one from each tribe?
It represent one from each tribe. Exactly. 12. 12 tribes.
There was actually, when he named the apostles, they were actually each one was from each one of the 12 tribes.
That much I'm not too clear on, but they are 12 represents the nation Israel, 12 tribes. Because there's, I don't know what tribe Judah came out of. And if you asked a true Israelite today, he probably couldn't tell you what tribe because all the records are gone. See, they can guesstimate. You can ask a Christian today, well, what tribe you come from? They have no idea, but they won't be a part of the nation Israel. And you was just not that way. You was associated with a tribe. And there's reasons for that. And they not, there's, if you look at some of the things, there was mandates, if you will, and restrictions and regulations on who they supposed to marry, those tribes. Okay? Very, very particular how God set this up. But look at Matthew chapter 19. This goes right along with Deuteronomy 32 that we talked about in the land. Yes, sir. Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regenerations when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you that have forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers and wives or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Boy, that's a good message, wasn't it? But how many of you are going to leave your mothers and fathers and wife and stuff for everlasting life? This wasn't to you. But what did He promise them up there? In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of His glory. Has He sat on the throne of His glory yet?
No.
He's in royal exile. He is on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Amen? But He came down. Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as a king. And He's there sitting up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He's sitting up and He's saying, in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, in the book of Acts, we're talking about the book of Acts, it says, it's My Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So He takes that kingdom of God and turns it over from the nation of Israel and gives it to who? The 12 apostles. Look at this. What does it say? To sit on the throne of His glory? That's over in ages to come. He sits on the throne of His glory on this earth, right? And he's given the 12 apostles going to rule over the 12 nations. You got this pattern? One up here, Jesus Christ, 12 apostles, 12 nations, and those 12 nations judges, 12 tribes, and those 12 tribes judges the nations in the kingdom age. There's authority. That's what this is about. Authority. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Starting with verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000. Now, how many of you, know this number and heard this number about all your life, 144,000? And there's a religious system out there that preaches that you got to be a part of that 144,000, right? But who are they? That's what it says right there. And all the tribes of the children of Israel. There's 12,000 from who? There's 12,000 from Judah. There's 12 the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Azar, the tribe of Nephilim, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Issachar, and the tribe of Zebulun, and the tribe of Joseph. Were sealed, and the tribe of Benjamin. And they're sealed. That's over here. See? There's some names in there that wasn't over here. Joseph had two sons, and he got his inheritance. Manasseh and Benjamin. Levi, in ages to come, over here gets an inheritance. Over here they didn't. The other tribes paid a tenth to support them. God takes care of them over there. But there's 144,000 coming out of 12 of those tribes. 12,000 of them.
You have to be Jewish. You can't be a Gentile.
Right. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. There's how many hours in a day?
24.
Okay, some say 24. Some say, well, some of us at work sometimes, it's probably 36 to 40, a day. How many is that?
12
in a day. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 9. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? So, what was a Jewish day? From 6 a.m.? Okay, that's 12 hours. Then we also know there's 12 hours in a night. Okay, that's what we get 24 hours a day. There are also in ages to come, well, not in so much ages to come, but the Lord Jesus, God Almighty, and his governmental structure up there, he had 24 elders. How many is that? Okay. And I think about this. When you look at the world time zone, how many time zones are there? 24. There's an hour per time zone. If you look at a lot of this stuff, it goes around like this. You know what I'm talking about? It goes around, and there's 4 and 20 elders up in the universe where God sits. I believe they're looking at each one of those areas, and they're over them. God, when He's up there in the Mount of Transfiguration in the north, okay, where the government is, He goes over there, and that's where His government's at. But I find that fascinating sometimes. 4 and 20, that's 24. That's night and day. That's a whole world. But so remember this, if you got anything out of this already, I know I went kind of fast, but the number 12 is always associated with the nation Israel. Always. So when you hear 12, 12, 12, 12, in your mind you should be thinking Israel, Israel, Israel. And what God is doing with Israel on this earth. Let's look at some contrast here. The number 1 is associated with the body of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We know it today in the dispensation of grace of God, God is not dealing with any nation. Singular. He's dealing with the nations. And anybody that did not trust from Apostle Paul to now, okay, well, if they trusted Christ Jesus and the kingdom program, they're in a kingdom. Okay, let's don't never forget that. But when Paul was raised up, God instituted a new program by grace that only you could trust that His Son died and buried and rose again to get in this program. And He talks about oneness, one body, one head. Okay, and that being Jesus Christ, not 12, 12, 12, 12. See, when we talk about the body of Christ, sometimes we say, you know, do you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins, buried, rose again? People says, yes, sir, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Well, they're into a body. They're not into a tribe that's going to rule and reign over here. Okay? We got the tribe of Walt, tribe of Jack, tribe of Ed, Dan. We got them all tribes in here today. But that don't have any bearing on what God's doing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We understand through Paul that God is working through a mystery program today, that you trust Christ died for sins and buried and rose again. People ask us all the time, what do you preach? We preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's Romans chapter 16. A lot of people today will preach Jesus Christ according to His earthly ministry. Okay? You can preach all that you want to, but it does not. It takes you out of the will of God, if you will, if you want to know what He's doing today. He's not dealing with His earthly ministry. He's dealing with what?
Heavenly,
where He's at. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3. Enduring, Ephesians 4, 3. What do we know about the book of Ephesians? It's a book of doctrine. Advanced doctrine for the body of Christ. That now you're going to find out some mystery truths, some truths that never been made known until Paul. You can find out where you're seated. You can find out what God's eternal purpose is in Christ Jesus when He makes it all said and done in Ephesians chapter 3. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is 12 bodies, 12 spirits, even ye are called in 12 hopes of your calling. Nope. You better say no, preacher, because how many does it say there? It says one. There is one body, one spirit, and as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, verse 5, one faith, one baptism, and it's not water. We're going to see that in a few minutes. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One, 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 one. How many ones is that?
Seven
ones. Isn't that perfection? See, in Christ Jesus, you're made perfected. In our bodies, we're not. Man, you know, am I ever learning about that? In my flesh dwelleth no good things, and I can't even, well, I can't imagine what I can do in my flesh, and you can too. It pops his head up. But in Christ, you're perfected. That's exciting. In the nation Israel, they're perfected in Christ, but they're dealing with nations and through that authority and throne. I'm excited about that, guys. You know. Think about it. Galatians chapter 3. Before you turn to Galatians chapter 3, now we're going to touch on baptism next lesson. Okay? But I just want to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 12 right quick. I told you one baptism and it wasn't water. Amen? But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. People asked, I don't want to touch on what I'm teaching next week, but I'll give you a little indication it's going to be good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 says, For as the body is one, not 12. The idea today is to get your mind on the fact that it's not 12, but one. And hath many members. And all members of that one body, being many, or one body, are also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. I just want to share that with you, because you got to know the fact that one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Not 12.
Amen.
One. And you only find that through Paul's epistles for us today. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 says, "And ye are all the children, and ye are all the children of God by faith in who? Christ Jesus." This is spiritual, by the way. This 26, 27, "For as many of you has been baptized into" who? Christ, "have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in" what? Okay? Okay? So it's one. One, 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 one. Okay? And if ye be Christ, then ye are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay? You get the same promise of inheritance that you're in Adam that Israel does. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2.1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Well, it's only four verses difference, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I exhort thee therefore, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks may be" for what? "All man. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty." There's a prayer there, intercession. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." You know what I mean? Keep reading. "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's people out there ever learning and never able to come to truth. Verse 5, for there is 12 gods and 12 mediators between God and man. That man is the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that what your Bible says?
No.
It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus. So in the dispensation of grace of God, you find out your oneness in Him. Complete in Him. He's the head of all principality and powers. We know that in ages to come, He's going to be the head of it all. But to understand today that you made one in Christ Jesus and nothing associated with the 12. Now I know that there's 12 jurors. See, our world system and government system uses the number 12 for a reason. I would pick 13. Because that's the number of my Apostle Paul. You know, but 13 also is a number of rebellion. It means rebellion. See? And it also means Gentile. So it's a number of Gentiles. See? 10 and 3, he writes 13 epistles. Okay? But 12, if you think about it, many of us went around, we watched Perry Mason on TV, and we watched Judge Judy, but they don't have, Judge Judy don't have 12 people judging. But you can have 12 people. So the number 12, even in the government judicial system, thank you, is the fact that they use that number. They get it right out of the Bible. Until next week. Thank you.